Welcome back to the officially unofficial podcast presented by Blue Wire Networks. We're joined by a very longtime friend of the show, writer of the Washington Post, Chelsea James. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. And I have one quality that I recommend to change for you. So your Twitter bio says national baseball reporter. I think it has to be switched because Canada, like, are you biased towards Canada? Because you're not including Canada in your bio. It says national. I think you have to switch to international. Care to comment on that?
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it. I didn't realize I was doing that. I got to rethink that. That's really good.
You got to switch it. You got to be international baseball reporter for the Washington Post. That's what it has to be. But let's go right into it. Obviously, mentioning Toronto, I'm on an all-time high right now. The Toronto Blue Jays are all the way. I'm not going to say the B word because people get mad when I say the B word, but they're buzzing right now. They're on the loose. You want to be in Toronto. You mentioned you coming to Toronto. How does that work out? Like, if they make the wild card and they're hosting, you have to be here. How does that work?
We'll see. I'm kind of going to see what the wild card series are and like where they want me to go. Some of those decisions are above me at the Post. But I would hope to get to go to Toronto at some point. Of all those cities, that's a pretty cool one with like great vibes, obviously. So I would love to get to go up there. Definitely like a CS or obviously the World Series. So they just got to hang around and then I'll definitely make it.
Yeah, it's lined up, and I think it's going to be like I did the math. The Jays have to play 500 baseball the rest of the season to get clinch first in the wild card. If they play 500, I mean, the Mariners have to go like 9-1 because I don't know what the Mariners are doing. And then the Rays have to go like 6-2 or 6-3 to get home field. So listen, I'm a gambling guy. The odds are in the Blue Jays' favor right now to get that home field advantage. But what do you think? Like, because this team, obviously, you don't watch as much of them as I do. It's the most roller coaster team I've ever seen in my life. They get swept by the Angels at home, and then they beat the Yankees 3-4 in Yankee Stadium, sweeping Fenway. Do you see like how frustrating this team must be for us fans?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there was a point this year where I thought, you know, maybe they were one of the biggest underachievers of the year, and they've obviously played their way back into like being completely fine, but. But yeah, I mean, they just strike me as still young. I mean, I know they're not that young, but like that core is pretty young. And with the manager switch and stuff, I don't know. The vibes are good, but when they're bad, they're bad. So I think they're one of those teams that could, if they catch fire at the right time, everybody should look out. Like Bo Bichette is a guy now, and you know they're real, but they're one of those teams that seems to like get in their head a little bit.
Yeah, and this is completely off topic here, and this is just me, my brain just scrambling. So. You are obviously a national baseball writer, and so is Bob Nightingale. I need you to start holding people accountable because he wrote an article a couple days ago about Ben Verlander that made me projectile vomit inside of my mouth. I don't know if you've seen it. He was saying Ben Verlander knows what it feels like to be Michael Jackson in Japan because kids were crying when they saw Ben Verlander. He was saying Ben Verlander's like the in-between of Ohtani and the people of Japan. Ben Verlander's the middleman. It is one of the craziest articles I've ever seen in my life. It was absurd. At what point, like, have you ever written an article when you click send, you're like, this is cringy. I don't like this, but I had to do it. Like, have you had that moment?
I try to avoid it. Not really. Yeah, I saw that one. I think, yeah, maybe my sense of cringe is a little different, but, you know, both of those people that you mentioned, Bob Nightingale and Ben Verlander, have been very nice to me, but that one was a...
I'm not taking shots at them, even though Verlander takes shots at me all the time, saying I'm an idiot because I said Manoah's better than Pablo Lopez, which is not even a crazy take. Like, it's just fact. No. But it's a crazy article. Do big J's like you, like, do you guys see that article and you're like, whoa, like, because obviously Bob's a great writer and he does a great job with baseball. But every once in a while, there's some stuff that comes out. It's like, whoa, dude, like, did this have to get written? How does that even happen, by the way? How do you write an article about a baseball host of a pod? Like, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not something like we have a sports media writer, so like I don't have to kind of worry about that, thankfully. But yeah, there's definitely some conversation of some of the quotes and stuff where you're like, whoa, okay, did we maybe not think
Michael Jackson of Japan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ben Verlander's made a name for himself in all this, so that's great. But yeah, that one was... I'm pretty sure everyone involved wishes that it'd come off a little bit differently than it did.
It's a crazy article, man. Yeah. It really is. Like, there's some aspects of the game where it's like, all right, like, this is why, like, this isn't going to appeal to the younger audience. And you can kind of tell, like, this is why Twitter is the greatest app of all time. is when everyone can like agree to something and all of the replies were like, dude, like you really had to release this, or like just kind of roasting him and stuff like that. It was a ton of ratios, but it was a crazy article. But kicking into like obviously going back to baseball talk here, is it crazy for me to say the New York Yankees, and listen, I'm gonna be biased, are a very fraud baseball team? I think they're absolutely fraudulent. I don't think they're as good as people like have them high in the power rankings. I think that lineup and having Josh Donaldson in the five hole, by the way, is just yikes. But I think they're one of the biggest pretenders in baseball. Maybe you can talk me out of it. Maybe give me another team, but I think it's them.
No, I think they're a lot different than they were in the first half. I don't know if they're fraudulent or they just like are too injured to be real right now. Like if you got Benintendi back, if you got Carpenter back hitting, you know, like 50 million home runs like he was, then like all of a sudden I start to sort of think about it a little more. But yeah, I mean, as constructed, that those lineups are not good. They're lucky they are where they are. I mean, there was a time where it kind of looked like they'd completely, you know, hand the division off. So yeah, I think they have a lot of issues. They've got a lot of injuries. They're kind of creaky, like they're old. You don't know what's going to happen. So I do think they're like probably the most precarious team that's going to get a bye for sure.
And another team that's kind of looked upon as like fraudulent, which a team that another beat the Dodgers last night, the Padres. That's another team I could just never get a read on because Juan Soto and Josh Hader look like they forget how to play baseball at certain points. And then next thing you know, like they're walking it off against the Dodgers. Like, I don't understand that team. Do you think that team could go far in the playoffs? I think they can get out of the first round, but it looks like they're going to be facing the Mets or the Braves if it stands right now.
Yeah, that's a tough series for them. I mean, that team just makes no sense to me. Like, they don't add up to what they should be if you look at the names on that roster, and that's been true for, like, years. And I think they'll feel lucky to get in the playoffs this year because obviously it's been kind of a disappointing season for them. But I feel like if they could get past the first round, if they could somehow beat the Mets or Braves, then, like, maybe they remember how to play baseball and the pressure's off and, you know, they can catch fire because, like, the talent's there. But I've never really understood, and we're now two managers into this, like, why those parts don't come together and work. Because there's, you know, on paper, they always look so good and their pitching staff's fine and everything's good, and they just kind of don't have it. So, yeah, I think they're going to have a tougher series, whoever it is. And especially if it's the Mets, I mean, DeGrom and Scherzer are in the first round, you know, that's tough. So, yeah, we'll see. But that's a team that, I don't know, I think I've probably dismissed maybe more than I should. But, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens if they can get past that wild card round.
Who is your dark horse right now in the playoffs in both divisions, whoever? Who's your one team where it's like this team's kind of getting slept on and could go very far? I'm going to say the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, yeah. Literally no one is talking about them. They have Goldschmidt, Arenado. They have Heasley out of the bullpen, or I don't know if Helsley, who throws 103. I think the Cardinals are an absolute wagon. Like, I think they're going to go decently far in the playoffs.
100%. I completely agree. That's been my answer the last few weeks. And I went and saw them like a week or so ago, and I just like looked around the clubhouse, and like, you have Pujols, Molina, and Wainwright, who've all been there. You have that Arenado and Goldschmidt are two of the best players in baseball this year. And then every single one of their young players can run, play defense, and like give you a pesky AB. Like, they're a nightmare if you play a team that's kind of like slower or whatever. Like, and their pitching staff is fine. The starters are fine. They people put the ball in play, but their defense can handle it. And their bullpen is pretty lit if everyone's healthy. So yeah, I think that team is built really, really well and could surprise a lot of people. Who knows if anyone can get past the Dodgers at this point, but if anyone can, I think, you know, I'd love to see like a Dodgers Cardinals series, because I think it would surprise a lot of people.
I think this is the first time the Dodgers have showed like a ton of flaws in their team. Like, Craig Kimbrel, dude, like, this guy, if you are a gambling man and you bet on the Dodgers and this dude comes in, just throw away your bets. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but do you think he will be the closer come playoff time still? Because Dave Roberts is still holding on to that role of him being like the closer guy, the late inning guy, and he blows it every single time. Like, when do you if he's not the closer for you, who do you think is going to be the closer?
That's a good question. I don't think it'll be him. You know, Dave Roberts is like very conscious of his image and kind of doing things the right way. So I think, you know, for now they want to like make really, really sure that if they take Craig Kimbrel out of that spot, he deserves to not be in that spot. You and I probably would think that that has already happened, but that team is weird too, because, you know, their pitching staff doesn't have any of the brand names you're used to seeing. I mean, Kershaw's going to be okay, but it's like a totally different pitching staff. They've still been really good this year, but what happens in October? I mean, if Tyler White and Tony Gonsolin are lights out in October, like everyone else should just quit because the Dodgers have something going there that no one else can emulate. Like if they're churning out pitchers that quickly, and you know, if they can lose Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer and everybody like that from last year and be fine, that's unfair. So I don't know. We'll see how they hold up, but that bullpen looks weird. I mean, Trinan's out. Everybody's just it's a bunch of names that weren't even sort of on the radar this time last year. So I don't know who's going to close, but I think that's when you look at the Dodgers, like if you can get to them and you just have to make sure they don't score too much early.
Yeah, exactly. And another question revolving around the Dodgers. Why did the Toronto Blue Jays trade for Mitch White? Why, like, you know that trade I'm talking about. He might be, I mean, his ERA is like 11 with the Jays, so I get to experience it. But when every time you see a Dodgers trade like that, are you in your mind like this is a fleecing? Because I don't know if you know who Nick Frosso is, but he's a prospect in the Jays system, throws like 100. He was traded for Mitch White, which is like, I don't understand why that even made sense. But like when you saw that trade come across the board, were you just like, what are they doing here? Like, because if a guy parts ways with the Dodgers and the Dodgers don't want him, there's clearly something wrong with them because they hold on to a lot of their guys.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rays, right? Like if you are trading with the Rays, you're probably getting beaten in that trade. Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially with the depth the Dodgers had this year or like didn't have in their rotation, to sort of part with somebody like that, it's pretty weird. I mean, they're like generally really comfortable parting with guys who other teams wouldn't be, maybe one or two win guys, and they'll hold on to the big guys. But yeah, that was a weird trade for, you know, to see the Dodgers sending pitching away. And it's not like they need prospects. It's not like they're desperate to like restock their system. They're loaded. So yeah, that's a weird deal and obviously hasn't been super successful from Toronto's perspective.
And you were there actually in Washington, I believe, when the Juan Soto stuff went down, like the trade and all that type of stuff. Looking back on it now, I know it's still early, obviously 2-3 months into it, but who would you say like won that trade? Because CJ Abrams could be a legit shortstop. Luke Voit, obviously, I mean, he's what he is. He's a long ball guy. Mackenzie Gore, I mean, and some of those prospects are freaks. So who would you say right now won that trade?
You know, it's hard. I mean, Soto obviously hasn't been that good since he's been there, but I think he's still leading the league in OBP and all this. Like, you know, it's Juan Soto. Sorry, I've got a cat up here. But no worries. I don't know. I think the Nats are happy. Like, I think they are as happy as they could possibly be. Whether we'll say they've won it in a few years, I don't know, but they've got a lot of talent. Abrams has looked great. They found Joey Meneses, who's like become a beast at 30 dude. Years old. Yeah. Who knows how long that lasts, but like every time I think it's going to stop, it doesn't. So I think for the Nats, they're happy because they kind of cleared the slate. There's not going to be a lot of money on the books. They can do whatever they want. And like some of the pieces that they got have looked as good as advertised. Like Abrams is he's got a cannon. Like that guy is good. So if Gore stays healthy, I think the Nats will be as happy as the Padres, if not happier, especially if the Padres can't really do much this year with Soto.
And can you explain this to me like I'm five? Because I always hear this in the contract talk, why Harper didn't sign there. What is deferred money? What does that even mean? And why do players hate deferred money? Why do they hate that?
Yeah, it's just like in the Scherzer deal, you know, I think his contract with the Nats was like $215 million over 7 years, but he is still getting paid, you know, in any given year. Like his hit to the salary cap was going to be like $15 million. That's not true. They count the average annual value against like the competitive balance tax, so toss that out. But it's basically like, we'll pay you half of that $30 million a year now, and we'll pay you half of it later, so we don't have to foot all that bill. So he's getting like $15 million a year from the Nats until I think next year, 2 years from now.
Holy
so that's
shit.
The deferral. It's like, we'll pay you later. And they hate it because of inflation and just the way everything works. Like you want money now instead of money later, so you can go invest it and it gains, you know, it has time to gain whatever. I'm not great at all this, but like you can build it a little bit during those years that you wait for the extra $15 million. And Max Scherzer can obviously kind of wait it out. He's fine waiting for his $15 million a year. But I think by and large, guys want the money now because money is generally speaking worth more now than it is in the future. And if you can invest it now, you get 3 extra years or whatever it is of interest or whatever that you wouldn't get otherwise. So it's everyone kind of hates that. the thing is, like, they didn't even do it with Soto. They were like, we're going to pay you all this money in real time. And it still wasn't enough, which for them was like the biggest thing they could ever do. Like the Lerner family who owns the Nats, for them to say, we'll pay you $400 million and we'll pay you in real time is, I mean, it's like they basically just, you know, spent their fortune because they hate doing that.
Have you met the owners of the Nationals? Like, have you like been in the same room as them and seen them? Because I'm so fascinated by like billionaires. Like, I just wonder like how they react, how they act. Have you gotten a chance to see the owners of the Nationals in person or like maybe have a conversation with them?
I have. Yeah, they're super pleasant. You know, I think from talking to people who like work with them, they're just, you don't make that much money by not trying to win every deal you make. And I think the Lerner family is a perfect example of that. Like, they are not going to pay a penny more than they feel like they have to for something. And that's probably why they made so much money in real estate in the first place. That's, you know, you kind of have to be a little cutthroat to get there. And I think they've tried at times to be sentimental and say, oh, we'll do the right thing or whatever, but they'll never overpay. And so, you know, they're very pleasant people. I think they care about people, but you know, it's to a point. And for them they offered Soto so much money by their standards, $400 million or whatever it was. Like, I think they felt like that is the absolute best we're going to do. And if you don't want this, like, go find somewhere where you can get it.
I don't even know what he's going to get. He's going to get so much money. It's just going to be absurd. Do you think Soto could be the first $500 million player?
I think so. I hope he kind of comes back to life a little bit. Like, he hasn't been terrible, but, you know, him getting traded obviously was kind of jarring for him. And I think it's been reflected in the numbers, but like, if he looks like Juan Soto, he'll be free agent at like 25. And I mean, have all the, every stat in the world, it's like him and Ted Williams or him and Pujols, or like, you know, the numbers are absurd for people his age. So I think Scott Boras wants him to be, and I think that's probably what Boras told him, like, hey, you wait, you're gonna be the first to do this. But we'll see. It's hard. And you know, I think he at times this summer was worried and thought about taking the money, because it's like, what if I get hurt? You know, what if I don't hit? And so it'll be interesting to kind of see how he handles the next few years, how he likes San Diego. But if he hits free agency and can get the New York teams involved, then he's got a real shot to hit 500.
If he goes to the Mets, the baseball world will explode.
Yes.
Stevie Cohen just doesn't care about money like at all. So that's like a really high possibility. Baseball is awesome because like in other sports, you have like salary caps and all that type of stuff where you can't overspend and stuff. But baseball, it's just obviously the luxury tax, which again, I don't understand how that works either. But it's just crazy how like the Mets could just buy every single player on the planet. The Dodgers could buy every single player on the planet. It's crazy. So another guy that I want to talk about is a guy that walked off the Yankees on Monday, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's my king. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. He said he wants to play here forever. I don't like, he is going to be getting so much. Like, how much money do you think Vladdy's going to get? Because he's a young guy too. That's like free agent in like 3 years, I think it is. So it's like coming up. It's scary, to be honest, as a Jays fan.
Yeah. All those guys, right? Like, I mean, he could get 400, 500 if the numbers are still there. Like, this is like a down year for him, quote unquote. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, he's been so good, but I mean, they're going to have him, Bichette, like everybody kind of pop up at the same time. So like, who do you pay? You know, I think you pay Guerrero, but it's, they're not going to be able to pay them all probably. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch. And they, you know, I don't know if their window's closing because those guys are so young and they can spend and whatever, but like, they have a really good opportunity the next few years to not have to pay those guys a lot and to get a lot out of them. And that goes for Manoah, that goes for everybody. So, I mean, Vladdy will get paid for sure. It's just, I wonder if it'll be the Blue Jays doing it or if they're going to have to choose between him and Bichette or if they'll just pay him out.
It's him over Bichette. Bichette is the worst fielder I've ever seen in my life. He has 21 errors at shortstop and he made it two. He has two this week alone. He has two errors this week alone. It's crazy. Like, he's a second baseman, but going into that Vladdy talk, it is like people say he's having a down year. And we always have the Jays fans in our comment section and stuff like that saying like, trade Vladdy. Vladdy's overrated. The dude's hitting 270 with like 30 nukes.
Right.
Like, I just don't understand how that could be like overrated or that could be like, this is a down year for him. Because if 30 nukes with 20, I don't think he's at 30, like 27 or whatever nukes out of 270 average is a down year. Like, what's a good year? Like 57 nukes?
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's like Soto. Like, he's struggling in San Diego and he's leading the league in like a million categories. It's the same thing. They've set the bar so high that they can't, you know, anything's going to be a down year from now on, but those guys will be around for a while. And yeah, you can't trade. No.
You seriously can't trade him. Yeah. But there's some, listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's some crazy stuff going on in baseball. I mean, you have the Pujols home runs, you have the Aaron Judge home run race and all that type of stuff. I'm a little bit off with all these like changing of the baseball stuff for them. I think it's just kind of absurd. Like Kevin Gausman said, why should they get different baseballs? All that type of stuff, which I kind of agree with. It's crazy to me. Do you think like potentially like 25 years down the road, we'll have like a McGuire Sosa situation where we just kind of swept it under the rug and it was just for entertainment purposes and stuff like that? I think it's impossible to happen again, but I think there's definitely a chance of it with all these milestones being hit this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to ask for sure. Like, I don't think Major League Baseball has earned the benefit of the doubt, whether it's with the baseballs, whether it's with steroid use. And like, to be clear, I don't think either of those two guys, Pujols or Judge, is on anything. I mean, they're getting tested for all the stuff that you look for. So, I mean, that's kind of all you can do. But I think like, it's fair to ask. I don't think any of that's going on. And one of the things I tell people about the baseballs is if you kind of read about that stuff, and I mean this, like, MLB, and I think they would tell you this, they're not that smart. Like, they're not that diabolical. Like, they've made some mistakes over the years where you're like, did you even ask like a physicist about this? Did you even talk to somebody about what this might look like? And so like the idea of them kind of, I don't know, manipulating the baseballs, maybe for two guys makes sense, but like to manipulate outcomes, to, it's just like kind of above their ability to be diabolical, I think. So, you know, I don't know. It's definitely fair to ask, but I think, you know, the baseball thing is interesting. You would think with all the attention that the balls have gotten the last few years, that that wouldn't be, you know, like something they felt like they could do right under everyone's noses, but like, we don't get handed baseballs to play with. I mean, you know, it's a fair question, but yeah, maybe we'll hear something 25 years later. You know, it's pretty crazy how much better Aaron Judge is than everyone else. Like, that's pretty wild. Like, yeah. There's all these little outliers that, if you watch baseball closely for the last few decades, you're like, maybe something's going on there. Maybe it's not, but like, we've seen it before.
It is. It's absurd. Like, and another guy that's been absurd in baseball is O'Neill Cruz. I mean, I can't get a read on this dude. It strikes out at an alarming rate, and has a high whiff percentage. But this dude, max exit velo, is hard hit percentage, average exit velo. It's just crazy to see. Do people like you, like look like baseball writers, like look at this guy and just can't get a read on him, just like the fans, because he's in the bottom 1% in all of baseball in K percentage. So he is at a scary, scary rate of strikeouts.
Yeah, he's like fascinating. I mean, that there's like a world in which that Pirates infield for the next few years is like really, really good. But like something about it doesn't feel believable. And I think that's part of it, right? It's like, is he going to always strike out like this? Is this going to get better? Is he going to, you know, because if that dude makes contact regularly, like that's a lot of hard contact, but is he going to be able to adjust? And yeah, he's fascinating. You know, I think we'll hear a lot about him like in spring training when we get past the playoffs and everyone's like, wait, this dude is huge and he hits the ball so hard and he misses it all the time. You know, he's kind of a fascinating creature, but that whole infield is interesting. Like that, you know, Brian Hayes is good. I mean, they're getting a little bit better over there. And if he could be the centerpiece, I mean, that's a really fun player to get to watch for a long time there, if he can maybe put the bat on the ball a little more.
Yeah. And it just, this is like the best time of the year because I'm a big college football guy, NFL guy, love baseball, obviously. So it's just the greatest time of the year. But I got to talk about the race between the Mets and Braves. One of the most absurd things. I mean, there's what's that Mets writer or news anchor or whatever anchor that keeps like saying the Braves are dead, and then he just mushes the Braves. I forgot his name. Sal. I don't know what his name is, but who do you think is going to end up at the top of the NL East? Because it looks like the Mets, who have, by the way, besides the Mariners, the easiest schedule in baseball for the remainder of the year, besides this Braves series coming up. It's crazy. I think the Braves might have a pretty good chance to actually like win the NL East. How crazy that sounds.
For sure. They're loaded. I mean, the Braves are really, really good. Like, I don't know if it's a fluke that the Mets were leading all year. I think we looked at the money and some of the big names and we're like, of course the Mets are, you know, going to be really good. But when you look at the Braves, I mean, that team, they sign everybody long-term. Nobody's going anywhere for decades. Like, and they won the World Series. Like, they won the World Series last year after having a horrible first half and having to turn it on, which is exactly kind of what they're doing. So yeah, I think the Braves have a really good shot there. But I do think if you get the Mets in a wild card if they can get past that. Like that's one of those teams that could turn the vibes on, you know. Like there's good vibes around that team if things are going well. So like I'd get out of their way if they kind of catch fire and start to believe it. But yeah, the Braves are really good. They're so good. They're just deep and you know, they know what they're doing in October for sure.
Yeah, and that's the GM that was the one that got away in Toronto, Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah. Jays didn't want to pay him because they were cheap at the time. And next thing you know, he's just absolutely just signing these crazy bridge deals out of nowhere, right? Yeah. It's just it sucks. Like I love Alex Anthopoulos. I would die for him. It's just like it's crazy that he's gone. But who would you say right now is like the best GM in baseball, or the GM that makes moves that are just like, wow, I can't believe this guy. Like it just he's playing chess when other people are playing checkers.
I mean, Anthopoulos is definitely up there. You know, I think he's done a really good job of not only like picking players, but keeping them, you know, making little deals here and there. I mean, I don't know how much credit the Astros get, you know, give James Click. I think the infrastructure was kind of built before him, but I mean, that's a really good team that's been good for a really, really long time. You know, I mean, the Dodgers do a great job. They've got depth in their system, but they also have endless resources. So what if you gave everyone else that, you know, are they just as good? I think Cleveland is sneaky, well-run. I don't know that I'd point to Antonetti or anyone like that and be like, that guy's a genius, but like they develop players and they are better than they should be. And the Rays, you can't say much about them until they are irrelevant, and they're never irrelevant. So, you know, I think those teams are good, but yeah, it's, I don't know. Anthopoulos is up there, and people, you know, more and more as, you know, the Braves kind of build this run, you just hear people talk about him and praise him. And, you know, I think he's the one that got away for the Dodgers in some ways too. Like he knows what he's doing. He has a way of getting the most out of deals and convincing guys to sign there. And frankly, like not relying on Scott Boras clients, which helps you pay a lot of guys that you wouldn't be able to pay otherwise. So whatever he's doing, it's working for sure.
Yeah. The Guardians are scary, but I was actually starting a movement with Blue Jays Twitter to tank for third place, so they face the Guardians in the first round instead of the Rays and the Mariners. But I just also, why does the third place wildcard team have the easiest path to the playoffs? How does that even make any sense? Because if you look at it, yep, the third place wildcard team faces the worst division winner, and then yep, they face the second place division winner, not the first. Yep. So if you come first or second in the wildcard, you have to win that, and then you have to beat the top AL team, which doesn't make right any sense how you get rewarded for that if you come in third place. So how does that make sense?
Right. Right. Like for the foreseeable future, the third wildcard team will play the central in both leagues, you know, and you can beat the central.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'll be interested to see like if people get pissed at the format this year, because I think the seeding, you know, people might decide isn't fair in that way. And then also like what happens to the teams that have the layoff? Like the bye sounds great, but you know, if the Jays come out of the wildcard series with some epic, you know, 3-game walk-off win, like the energy is going to be there, and you run into whoever has been sitting around all for a couple of days. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. You could, that changes things in baseball. It matters. So I'll be interested to see that. I think that could bite some of these really good teams that were like the Yankees, you know, some of these guys, if they have to sit around a bit and they get in their head, like that's going to matter.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm excited to see how the playoffs go, especially like, because the wild card teams usually like it's all rides on momentum, especially in the playoffs. Like if you come after winning a wild card series and you're facing a team that hasn't played meaningful baseball like the Dodgers and God knows how long, or the Astros and God knows how long, those teams could fall down really easily. It just depends on, I guess, it depends on like momentum and stuff like that. And depends how good a team is, if they can actually just perform no matter what, like with the other team has momentum or not. So I'm excited to see it. And do you have a vote, by the way, for the awards this year?
I don't. We do not vote, which I personally am happy about, but I do love watching everyone else fight about it.
So who votes? Who votes for like the rookie of the year and stuff?
So writers do, like the Washington Post, I think the New York Times, a couple others have just like never let their people vote for whatever reason. I think they just like kind of feel like, you know, I don't know, like deciding people's awards and the salary, like money they get from them and stuff, you know, like, there are some places that have kind of deemed it a conflict of interest, but most everyone else does. So
who would you vote for Rookie of the Year? Would you vote our guy, friend of the podcast, Spencer Strider? Like, would he be your Rookie of the Year vote, or Michael Harris?
I mean, I like Strider. For me, the easy one is Julio. But Yeah, I saw you had Strider on. That's a good get. I mean, that's a big name now. Like,
yeah,
you
that's my
guys are,
guy. No, we've had, listen, we had the rookie of the year last year on Jonathan India. We're trying to go back to back with NL rookie of the year. So next year I'm going to have to work my ass off to find another way to get the next rookie of the year, maybe do some scouting with the prospects in the NL. But yeah, I think Spencer Strider is going to win it, but Michael Harris has had a crazy September. Yeah. So it just goes to show you the Braves have two guys fighting for rookie of the year on the same team. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right. On the defending World Series champions. Yeah. It's wild. It's not fair.
It's the Braves are scary, man. They're the Mets. I mean, the thing is what I love, I don't know if you like pay attention that much to like Twitter and like the Mets fan meltdowns and stuff like that. Yeah. But Frank the Tank is all time with that, by the way. I don't know if you know who Frank the Tank is, but he's just the greatest Twitter reaction of all time. But seeing these Mets reaction, like the Mets fans reaction, like they are folding. Like didn't they have a 10.5 game lead at one point? Is that what it was?
I think it was 10.5 was the peak. Yeah.
That's nightmare fuel. If the Jays did that, there would be holes in my drywall. I'd be so mad if the Jays blew a 10.5 game lead. I don't think I'd be able to like react to it properly, at least. But it is wild. I mean, it's just crazy because you look back at last year, Jays missed the playoffs by one game. It's like every single game matters, and the Braves and the Mets are par for par, like the exact same after at this point of the season with like 8 games to go. So it is going to be wild. So where are you going to be? Do you just stay in Washington, or are you going to be traveling out to like the series, like the Brave series and stuff like that?
I'm not sure. I might go try to see Judge hit 62 if he does that. I think next week probably be around the Mets a little bit just because they're up in New York. I don't know what like the weather is going to mess with that Braves Mets series because of the hurricanes. Like I'm gonna stay put until I know, but I'm going to be obsessively watching, especially Braves Mets. I mean, both of those Twitters, they're like completely unstable at all
times.
So it's
they're
just,
all time.
It's so perfect.
Yeah. I was caught in the crossfires of it. Cause when Strider came on, he retweeted the podcast and like a ton of Mets fans were after that comment about like the luckiest hits. I had like 30 tweets at me, like shut up or like you're an idiot or you're still crying, all this stuff. And I was like, I didn't even do it. So I caught a lot of strays from them. So you just hate to see it. But it is wild. Like, I think the Braves are going to win the division, but I think somehow, some way, like they'll both end up. They could both end up in the NLCS. I think a Braves Mets NLCS would be the most all time thing. No, they can't, right?
Wait.
So first and second. So no, they wouldn't. So the Braves and Mets would face in the NLDS.
Right.
But that's even crazier.
That's bonkers. Short series.
That's what we're fighting for. I want a Braves Mets NLDS bad. Absolutely. That would be all time. That would be all time. Holy shit.
Oh, it'd be so good. Every game. Yeah.
So we're going to end it off with your World Series prediction. Let's get it on paper here for you. Who's going to be in the World Series, NL, AL, who's going to win it?
I think it's, well, I'll say Astros Cardinals. I'm pretty sure about the Astros. I don't know who is better than they are, but hopefully they get knocked off because I think we're all kind of ready to see somebody new. And the Cardinals is kind of a soft pick. I think there's a chance the Dodgers just run and just have no trouble, and we've all just kind of not paid attention to them because they're so good. But I don't know. I like the Cardinals. I like the vibes. There's like a lot of talent there. I think their manager, that you know, they have a manager who's like 36, and he'll make gutsy calls in big moments. So yeah, I'm in there, and I don't know. I don't know if they can beat the Astros. I think the Astros are good, and I wouldn't mind seeing Dusty get one, but I don't know. I'll say Astros because it's easy, but it'll be interesting.
That was an all-time move by the Astros, like a team that was well-hated to hire the most loved manager of all time with Dusty Baker. It's chess while playing checkers. That management, you want to talk about like the big moves they made, all that type of stuff? No, no, no. The best move they made was hiring Dusty Baker
100%.
To kind of be the shield for everyone hating them. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be Astro. I think the Astros win over. I'm going to say Astros Braves again. I'm going to say a rematch of the last year World Series and the Astros win. I think it's going to be crazy. These playoffs, I mean, that extra wild card team definitely adds to like how crazy it's going to be. So I'm excited for it. Hopefully I get to see you in Toronto for the wild card.
Yeah.
And hopefully Judge doesn't hit 61 and 62. That would be all time too. I heard he's a great guy though. So I heard Judge is actually a really good guy, but I don't want to hear Yankee fans complain. And by the way, it's like, who cares about an American League record? Like, I listen, I'm not trying to spin zone it, but it's an American League record. Like, talk to me when he hits 74, like Barry Bonds. That's when I'll actually care.
That's fair. Very fair, I think.
Thank you, Chelsea. I appreciate you hopping on this. And like I said, let's get a Toronto Blue Jays ALCS. Obviously, I'm thinking the Astros will dog walk them. But oh no, I didn't play the Astros in the ALDS actually. So it'll be early exit for us. But I appreciate you hopping on this, Chelsea.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Official Unofficial Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.